Right across Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show. It's Danny
Lakey. What do we want? 1 terabyte of storage data on our iPhone. When do we want it? In the next iPhone model, please. iPhone 13. Good news for those who like to watch a lifetime supply of porn in one session. 1 terabyte worth of storage.
Word on the street. Rumours in the Apple market.
We talked about the creamy pasta salad and the mysterious aftertaste that we have all experienced. It was real relatable content. Talked about fictional characters that you want to bang. It was real unrelatable content. And let's kick it off with great news. Some overdue news, in my opinion. Michael Jackson's pet chimp Bubbles is still alive and well. Thank God. Thank God. I've been on tenterhooks. I've just been waiting for the mainstream media to release us some more info about Bubbles the chimp, Michael Jackson's old pet chimpanzee. After being taken in as Jackson's new pet in the 1980s, Bubbles went on to become a huge star in his own right. And that's saying something for a chimp. I mean, it's an eclipse, if not the greatest pop star of all time. And we know the fame that MJ had for Bubbles to take a bit of that real estate and really make it his own. He really grew into the position of Michael Jackson's pet chimp, starring in music videos, TV shows and movies, even touring with Jackson once when he went on a promotional tour in Japan. God, that's some of the great vision, isn't it? Watching MJ in a boardroom with a whole heap of Japanese paparazzi. Although one of it was Bubbles. It was Bubbles mania over in Tokyo back in the late 80s. While Bubbles initially lived in the Jackson family home in LA, he later moved to the Neverland Ranch, where he reportedly slept in a crib in the singer's bedroom and shared Michael Jackson's toilet. God, you'd love to be a fly on the wall with MJ and the chimp, wouldn't you? Just, what do they talk about at night before bed? What's the go? What's the toilet etiquette? Does someone do one of the great steamers? And they, oh, Bubbles, Jesus. Have you heard of a bit of ambipur? Over the time, the chimp matured into a dominant adult male, as most chimps do, and was no longer safe living in such close proximity with Jackson. Oh, I don't think it was very safe living with Jackson anyway at that time. Was sent to an animal trainer before relocating to the Center for Great Apes in Wachula, Florida, where Bubbles still lives to this day. And then, of course, MJ passes a couple of years after that. And I love this bit of journalism because he was willing to ask the questions at the zoo enclosure where Bubbles lived to the zookeeper that no one else was going to ask.
Does this chimp, Bubbles, does it recognize that Michael Jackson is dead?
We have not discussed it with him.
We haven't brought it up with Bubbles yet, unfortunately. We're waiting for the right time. Bubbles, have you got a second? No, I don't think you can discuss the death of a previous owner with a chimp. I mean, I know they're very similar. I know we share a lot of DNA, but I don't think the chimp is quite going to understand what the zookeeper's tragic news about the King of Pop's passing was. Anyway, Bubbles' showbiz lifestyle may feel like a distant memory, but by the looks of things, he's enjoying his retirement in the Sunshine State to this day. And this news broke earlier today, and it just warms the heart. I feel comfort. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying I feel overjoyed that Bubbles is still living his best, but comfort is the word, the appropriate word. And he was probably one of the great primates of TV. I mean, there's not many better monkeys, apes, chimpanzees, gorillas, etc., that were on the big screen that had the pull of Bubbles. And 133353, who do you think was the greatest primate on television of all time? It could be a real gorilla. It could be a cartoon monkey. There are all sorts of primates that have made our screens in this day and age. What I don't like is that you don't see enough chimpanzees on telly anymore. You don't see enough trained primates, the man's best friend. You used to see him all the time. No one batted a lash back at that Japanese press conference in the 80s. It was just a man and a chimp. Nothing to see here. Take your photos, guys. Move along. I just can't feel like that's going to really happen in 2021, which is disappointing. 133353, what was the best primate on TV? I mean, this was a good show. There weren't really any real primates in the Monkey Magic TV show. But for me, I think the only one who comes close, I think it was the orangutan out of Dunstan Checks In. That was a go. And I thought that was Bubbles for a long time. But I fact-checked that. It was actually Sam the orangutan. The classic hotel topsy-turvy hijinks orangutan. Sam in Dunstan Checks In, not Bubbles. We did a little poll around the office today. Someone mentioned Lancelot Link, the secret chimp. Now, I had no knowledge of Lancelot Link, the secret chimp, who was one of the great detective primates in the 70s and 80s with a monocle. You have to respect a primate with a monocle. That's what I've always said. Food for thought, 133353, the best primates on TV. Maybe a Mighty Joe Young. Not enough charm for me personally. Cartoon gorilla, perhaps. Got any Curious George fans out there? I'm curious if there are any Curious George fans. Gary in Maui. Gowie in Maui. Oh, Maui. Sorry, Maui. Hello.
Nah, it's all good. Yeah. Clive from Clint Eastwood's movie, Any Which Way But Loose.
Any Which Way, Every Which Way But Loose, and Any Which Way You Can. Yes.
Yeah.
So Clive was the character that was played. Please, if we can respect the orangutan, the orangutan's actual name is Manus.
There you go, yeah.
The ultimate compliment for any primate that you address it as the character it played rather than its original primate name. Yeah, fun fact, Manus, a.k.a. Clyde, he was the orangutan in the first movie. But then in the second movie, 2 years later, the follow-up sequel, two orangutans were used, CJ and Buddha. They shared the role. Manus, unfortunately, there was a little bit of a dispute between the orangutan trainer, which is sad.
Oh, yeah. That is.
Yeah, it's a little bit sad, but a job well done, Manus. Well done. It is.
We've
got a lot of, calls coming through about Clyde, the orangutan as well. So take it as a compliment yourself, Gary and Moe, because there was five people we could have chose from, and producer Mick, she chose you.
Oh, I feel privileged.
Good on you, Gary. Danielle, you're on the Central Coast. Hello.
Yes, Monkey Magic from the ABC. Big part of my childhood.
I remember being a 10-year-old kid and it would play after Rage on a Saturday morning at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. and I was very confused about what was going on, but I liked it. I didn't know what it was, but I remember how I felt and it was positive.
It was amazing. I used to just recall the cloud when he summoned the cloud. It was very interesting.
Can we get a name recall? I remember there was like a gremlin-looking kind of guy with those little pixie ears.
Pigsy.
Okay, yeah. Well, makes sense, of course.
Yeah.
Now, were they playing? They were playing the character of monkeys. Yes.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, and a woman played the priest, but she was supposed to be a man in the show. Yeah, very, very weird and interesting.
Well, I've always said that Monkey Magic paved the way for gender stereotype rebuke today. They were doing it before their time. Well done, Monkey Magic. Well done, Danielle, talking great apes and great primates on TV. Martin in New South Wales, hello.
G'day, Danny. How are you?
Yeah, good. Just discussing some primates, Bagilla Gorilla, Curious George, Donkey Kong, and his little sidekick, Diddy. Those were all good fun. What was your favourite?
Like Wally Walpermuir and his whole family selling paints on the Aussie television.
Look, I don't know about Wally Walpermuir, maybe a little before my time. I'm trying to Google it. All it's coming up with is Wally wallpaper with a whole heap of Where's Wally optical illusions. I can't find anything on Wally Walpermuir.
You've got to find him. They even had the thing in the mouth where it looked like he was talking. It was, definitely wouldn't get past the RSPCA today, but... funny in the time.
Okay, hang on a second. Hey, Siri, do we have any information about Wally Walpermuir?
Here's what I found.
Oh, it's just directed me to a website. Anyway, okay, well, cool. That's a bit of fun for after the show. Man, Wally, have some acquainting to do. Jason in Lake Macquarie, hello.
Yeah, good day, Luke.
Yeah, good day, mate. Hang on a second. I just want to change, smoothly transition. They call me DJ Ape, and I'm just going to transition from Monkey Magic to the Monkeys instead. It's a little more on brand. So, what was your favourite primate on the TV?
Okay, I got an out there one for you as well.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking about Magilla Gorilla.
Magilla Gorilla. Are we talking the purple animation?
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, I think you're fine. You're correct there. Bagilla Gorilla. Do we know the creator of Bagilla Gorilla?
He created a lot of things.
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue. Who was it? Try to find it. Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera, correct.
God, isn't this fun?
You should be on my show. Yes, correct. Hanna-Barbera.
He did. He drew a great gorilla. I've got him here now. He wasn't purple. He had a purple hat and green green dungarees covering those big gorilla nips of his. Nice, Barbera.
And now, on the Danny Lakey Show, it's time to find out if Lakey agrees. Lakey, do you agree that it's time to find out if you agree?
Yeah, couldn't agree more, actually. This is where producer Mick manages to get something off the internet. I read a discussion where people put for their best answer to the question at hand, and I see if I agree with the people on the internet. Tonight's question, producer Mick,
is what fictional character would you sleep with?
All of them? Oh, my God. It's like choosing your favourite child, isn't it? Oh, God. Oh, can I pick 10? Can I pick 10? Like, it's the Triple J's Hottest 100, please. We've done this a couple of times as a phone topic. It's very fun to get into the mindset of a cartoon character. You open up a lot more options. I reckon if I was a cartoon, more ladies would want to sleep with me. As in more cartoon ladies. I'd be a hot cartoon man is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like I could pull a Jasmine in the cartoon realm. I could. I know if I was a cartoon, Princess Jasmine would love me. What is the first one? Who have people said that they'd like to sleep with in the cartoon world?
Lola Bunny.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, does the best shit in the woods. Yeah, she always had me when I was watching Space Jam back in the day. And Bugs Bunny, he's obviously got a crush on her. I was about to say he's only human, but he's not. He's a rabbit. And she's there, her little rabbit tail, gesturing around on the basketball
court. She's very sultry.
Don't ever call me doll. Oh, I love that. I love it when a cartoon rabbit can blow a fringe in a seductive way. Yeah, of course. I agree.
Okay. Number two, Elastigirl. Mrs. Incredible.
Oh, Elastigirl.
She's very flexible.
Yeah.
Pliable.
I figured that. I hope, though, there's more to it than just the flexibility of Elastigirl that's getting this person to think, well, that's going to be my celebrity free pass in the cartoon realm. I mean, I know she wears quite a tight pair of black, you know, latexy sort of pants, doesn't she? So
probably
there's a bit of attitude
there. It's a onesie, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, how flexible does someone need to be? Like, I've never thought that that's a prerequisite in a mate.
Oh, flexible. Oh, no, we had to break up, I'm afraid, because she couldn't touch her toes.
Like, everyone beats the bare minimum of flexibility. So I don't think Elastigirl, for me, that's her strength. I'm not looking for that in someone.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a slight amount of flexibility, but not elasticity. No, I disagree. What a ridiculous answer to a very normal question.
All right, number three, Wilma Flintstone.
Ooh.
Fred Flintstone's wife.
Yeah, going prehistoric. I like it.
White pearls, red hair.
Yeah, white pearls, nice pearl necklace. Look, Fred was a lucky guy. There's no doubt he was punchy above his average. From what I gather, it was a happy family environment. My allegiances more lie with Barney's missus. Who was she?
Betty.
Betty Rubble.
Betty Rubble.
You can Betty.
Brunette pocket rocket.
You can Betty a bottom dollar. Betty Rubble is, was where my heart lies. So, yeah, probably more Betty Rubble. I'm more of a Betty Rubble guy. There's two types of guys in this world. I fall into the Betty Rubble category. What can I say? I disagree.
All right, next one. Ariel, the Little Mermaid.
Mm. No specificity on whether she's in human mode or fish mode by now.
No.
Mm. I would prefer, and I'm not being funny here, I'd prefer Ariel as half fish still. Because if I was a cartoon, I reckon I could live a better life with Ariel, half fish, half woman, under the sea.
Half woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if we both lived under the sea with Flounder and that sea anemone orchestra, that'd be a much more happy life. I always felt when she moved in with boring old Eric up on land, it was like, oh, God. And I know you get away from that fat chick with the big boobs and the grey tentacles, but apart from that, it seems like a boring life up there. Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, under the sea, half fish Ariel. Yeah.
Okay.
Ariel, as long as she's still got a fish tail.
Great. Okay, last one.
Mm.
Dorothy the dinosaur.
Sorry?
Dorothy the dinosaur.
I always thought Captain Feathersword saw her first.
She wears a white little cat hat.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
yellow spots.
Yeah, I'm thinking, does the person have inside information that the person under Dorothy the dinosaur's costume is actually really hot in real life?
Maybe
they're saying that. I can only judge the fabrics that she's wearing, and no, I wouldn't say so. It doesn't excite me, and I'm a sick bastard. Like I would get a wristy from Edward Scissorhands. Like that's how freaky I am. But no, not Dorothy. No, definitely not.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch Up Podcast.
one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in Aussie supermarket aisles after a video claims Woolworths creamy pasta salad has strange aftertaste. True. Can vouch. We've all had a creamy pasta salad at a Sunday barbecue, and to be honest, I'm ashamed that I didn't think of it first. I've always known it was there. I guess I've always just put it to the back of my mind because I've been having fun at the barbecue. There's something a bit off about this creamy pasta salad. I always thought it was Mum hadn't bought the freshest pasta salad. She's got Sunday's batch. Someone has gone viral on TikTok after bringing it to the forefront. Why? Why is there a strange aftertaste of the creamy pasta salad?
As Australians, can we all collectively get together and just ask, what the f*** is the aftertaste?
Yeah, what the F is that aftertaste? There's a twang to it. There's a kick. There's a lingering something that I can't quite put my tongue on. She goes on in the video to explain that she thinks the creamy pasta salad aftertaste tastes like TV static. I can understand where she's coming from. I'm more of a handful of pennies and spring onion kind of guy. There's something a little bit metallic about the creamy pasta salad. I bought some creamy pasta salad earlier on today just to confirm my suspicions, just to cross the T's, just to dot the I's, lo and behold, yeah. Took me about 3 spoonfuls before I had that lingering, weird, oh so familiar but oh so foreign aftertaste in the creamy pasta salad. 133353, I'd love some theories on what you think is causing that aftertaste in the creamy pasta salad. Because I've got a list of ingredients here, and we can break them down all in good time, one by one. The internet has obviously come to the forefront with numerous theories. One saying the aftertaste comes from Dijon mustard and vinegar combining together. Fair. Huge if true, yet unconfirmed. Someone says, I reckon it's the celery reacting with the mayo. Checks out. Could happen. Sure. Another suggested the pasta's cooking method. No, I don't think so, mate. No, I think that's a little far-fetched. I think there's enough ingredients in there to make some aftertaste without it going, oh, I think you've boiled the pasta for so long, guys. I think that's the last theory that would actually stack up. I don't think it's anything to do with the pasta, to be honest. I think the pasta is the only thing that's normal about this creamy pasta salad. For me personally, and I'm going out on a limb here, I'm thinking it might be more of a reaction with a metal ladle. Because you've got to think, when you make creamy pasta salad at home, it doesn't have that weird aftertaste. It's only a Woolworths, Coles, IGA sort of setup. Are they using a ladle that's just having a tiny reaction with a big follow-on effect? Maybe even a latex glove effect. Is it a ladle or latex issue? That's where my money is. Someone else said, oh my God, yes, I didn't realise anyone else tastes this. Yes, we all taste it. It's the main reason I don't eat this pasta salad, to be honest. Someone else said. One man asked, why is it so much worse when you eat it with metal cutlery? Well, I don't know, one man. That's what we're trying to understand. She said she'd been contacted by people around the world, branding the situation a global problem. Okay, so it's not just an Australian thing. Producer Mick, she's taking a few calls right now, but she did float the idea. She always thought it was that the capsicum was spoiling. She thought the capsicum might be fermenting in the creamy pasta salad. 133353, Peter in Geelong. Hello.
Yeah, g'day. I don't think it's got the aftermetal taste, but there's something funny about KFC coleslaw in the little tubs they sell. It's drowning in mayonnaise, and they've got to fix it.
Yeah. It's interesting that you brought up the coleslaw, because I've also bought a pack of coleslaw to taste side by side, the creamy pasta salad versus the coleslaw salad. The only thing that makes sense with a tangy aftertaste with the coleslaw is its onion content. There's quite a lot of onion in there. I mean, you expect that from a coleslaw when onion's involved. Granted, they do drown the coleslaw in mayonnaise. I think there's a certain acidity regulator probably put in there. I mean, the Colonel knows more than me. You're very much right. And I think we're on the same sort of path and the same sort of wavelength, that maybe there's a coleslaw ingredient that is also in the creamy pasta salad. What are the theories? What is causing that aftertaste in the creamy pasta salad? After gobbling down a little more, I think it tastes like what a UTI feels like. It's that sting of the urethra, but on your buds. It's a fascinating case. Kate in Melbourne. I I'm very interested to hear what you think. The theory is as to why the creamy pasta salad has a lingering aftertaste, a bizarre aftertaste.
I think it's the stupid cheese they grate into it. I stopped eating it back in the 90s because it had the stupid aftertaste.
Whoa, and you can hear the passion coming through from Kate. She's not happy with the stupid cheese. Now, let me go through some ingredients here. Let's focus on the solids. Capsicum, carrot, celery, cheese, onion, spring onion, and parsley. Yeah, because I'm fishing through with my fingers right now, and I'm trying to find a couple of these stupid bits of cheese. You think it's a cheddar-based game? I think it's a cheddar-based game.
I have no idea. It could be mouldy cheese, for all I know.
Wow. Let's not cast cheesy dispersions so early in the piece, but I hear you. It's noted. I'll write it down. Stupid cheese. Trevor in Traralgon. Hello.
How you going, buddy?
Good, thank you. You also suspicious of the cheese content in this? Let's not put the cart before the horse here, boys.
There's plenty of
ingredients.
I want more cheese in it.
You'd like more stupid cheese to try and neutralise the tangy flavour. I agree with you. There are two types of people in this world. There are the people blaming the cheese, and there are people asking for more cheese in the creamy potato pasta salad. Yeah, great, sure. I mean, it still leaves us wanting to know the answer, what is causing the aftertaste.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I hope you figure it out.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't really like it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Literally just calling to celebrate and request more cheese in the salad. Fair dues. Pete, in New South Wales. Now, something that we haven't discussed yet, and I feel you're probably the man to tackle this, is the maltodextrin. What do you think about the maltodextrin?
I believe you're the one who's on the money.
Thank you. Not answering the question, but still answering the question. Love it. You think it is an onion-based game?
No, I think it's a chemical reaction in the metal.
Okay, the ladle reaction.
No. The Hobart mixing machine.
Okay.
They use a big bowl, a big industrial bowl, to make their most wonderful mayonnaise that they mix this with that everyone's not liking. Mm. And I believe that mixer, I mean, you know that you don't use a metal spoon in mixing any type of, you know, sauces or anything in a saucepan.
Well, that's mixing 101.
Well, that's exactly. you don't do that because then, of course, you're going to end up with a metallic taste in the food.
Yeah, fascinating.
I know this simply because I did a course, commercial cookery course in TAFE, and that's what they told us. So, you know, they're the experts, they should know.
Well, of course, and took the words right out of my mouth. Like I said, you learned it in Mixing 101. Sounds like Pete is fully traversed and qualified in Mixing 102 right the way through all the modules. The only interesting, and this is healthy debate, don't take this out the wrong way, but I was doing all sorts of things with this creamy potato salad during Linkin Park that played just before, and I had a whole mouthful of all the ingredients, the pastas, the carrots, the onions, the mayo, all of it. And what I did, I sucked all the mayo out of it, like a young boy sucking on a flannel in a bath.
Right.
And sucked it so hard that there was only pasta, carrot, cheesy residue, and shallots left.
Right.
You would assume that me sucking all the mayonnaise out of the pasta would bring on the tingy aftertaste. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay.
I actually felt nothing when I took down the coleslaw / mayonnaise. It was the after bit where I sucked on and chewed the dry pasta, the shallots and the carrot shellings, that I felt the bitterness.
Oh, so it's embedded itself into the food.
Embedded is the word I was about to say.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is crazy. But, you know, you think about it, marinades and stuff, you throw your meat into a marinade, and, of course, after a day, you know, it goes into the layers inside. So, I can see that happening to pasta. Yeah. I can see that happening to celery.
Oh, yeah.
Carrot, and they find a harder time doing that into the carrot because it's much more...
Well, it's more dense, less porous, isn't it? So with the metal marinade. We got to go to one more call. Aaron in Derwent Valley. Tassie, hello.
How are you, Cobber?
Good, thank you. Just sucking the mayonnaise out of the pasta shells at the moment.
Yeah, mate, I'd like to throw all them thoughts out the window. For the simple fact is, I used to work for a company in Brisbane. Actually, I'll say it, I don't give a shit. Mrs. Crockett's.
Whoa!
And, boom, yeah, cover. And all the carrots, the celery, the onions, everything that we ever done was washed in a stainless steel tub, which possibly can get a slight metal taste. But we used to wash it all in chlorine twice. All the vegetables get washed in chlorine, and that's possibly where people get their dodgy aftertaste from.
Wow. Okay. Huge, if true, legally, that Mrs. Crocker, if you're going to go after anyone, Mrs. Crocker, remember who said that. That was Aaron in the Derwent Valley, and not Danny Lakey. Look, more to come on this. I'm going to continue sucking away, and we'll touch on this in the next night or so.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Tech news, bit of tech goss. iPhone 13 rumours that Apple could include 1 terabyte of storage. Right, there's too much data now, guys. I think once we've started using the T word around these circles, we've gone over our limit. We've got too greedy for data now and the storage on our iPhones. This article says it's one of the most frustrating messages you can get on your iPhone, but the next line of devices out of Silicon Valley could make it a thing of the past. Anyone who uses an iPhone for an extended period of time has probably come across one of the most annoying issues the device can face, that you only find out about it when it's too late. Okay, I think what they're talking about is when you go to take a photo and you've taken one of the great sexy selfie snaps for the gram, and then all of a sudden it says, oh, sorry, there's not enough space left on this phone for this photo. You're like, oh, come on, I've literally got thousands of photos. Just one more is fine. Where was the warning? Where was the lead up? Where was the 10 selfie pre-warning? Oh, you've only got 10 photos left before you won't be able to take any more photos. You're going to have to delete some photos if you want to take more photos. That usually just happened when you had a 16 gigabyte iPhone. You'd have a little bit too much music on there, a little bit too much on iTunes. And then what you sacrifice in iTunes, you have to make up for in the photo gallery at some point. And they came out with the 32 and the 64 gig. I mean, I've got a 64 gig now. I couldn't take enough selfies to fill this bastard up. There's enough. I don't have that issue anymore. I don't understand what people are doing, because you can get 128 gigas now, 256. And I didn't realize until today, reading this article, you can get a 512 gigabyte iPhone now. That's too much data. Nobody needs 512 gigabytes on them at all times. Rumors suggest Apple could now offer a 1 terabyte model in the next range of iPhones, to which I say keep the terabyte to a hard drive. You know, the terabyte only comes in when your Mac eats shit and you need to transfer your whole life and all your will and your credit card details and all your account documents onto another laptop. That's the only reason a terabyte should be involved in this day and age. That's double 512 gigabytes. Too much storage, to be honest, on the iPhone 13.
Introducing the iPhone 13. Unlucky for some, but lucky for you. Lucky for you, the iPhone comes with 1 terabyte of storage. No more little boys 256 gigabyte iPhones for simps, beta cucks and puss. Never run out of storage again with more than double the space of any previous iPhone on the market. Helicopter parents, film your child from the crowning process at birth right through to their 18th birthday without pressing stop. Only on the new iPhone. Download enough music to jog for 172 days straight without hearing the same song. Keep every text message in your phone for the next 44 years just in case you're involved in a historical sexting scandal. Download every university textbook that ever existed for those nights you've taken too much Ritalin and need to absorb knowledge. Record the voice memo of that 17-day-long TED Talk speech you were going to give at your mate's wedding. I'm looking forward to the iPhone 13 because I received 4 million dick pics from Jonathan Patton and I had to delete some of the early ones to make space for his latest ones. Not anymore. iPhone 13 with 1 terabyte storage. Coming soon.
It's important to note that all 4 million Jonathan Patton dick pics that we referred to in that sketch were all consensual. What he did in his own time, that's the trouble. Daddy Lakey.
Triple M.